Well, gospel reading this morning comes from the first chapter of John, verses 29 through 42. So hear now the word of the Lord. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where we were staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,' which is translated Peter." This is the word of the Lord. May God bless this reading of the Holy Word. Well, the sermon title this morning is "Come and See." Come and see. So please pray with me. God of wisdom, may my words be faithful to the written word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring us all closer to the living word, Christ Jesus. In his name, amen. Well, last week, for those who were here, we read Matthew's account of the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is commissioning to ministry. Well, today the lectionary switches to John's gospel, and we see the opening act of Jesus' ministry, which begins with the calling of his first disciples. There's no command, there's no theological argument or presentation, just an invitation. Come and see. Well, this reminds us that faith does not begin with having it all figured out. It begins with an invitation and a movement towards Jesus, towards the possibility that God is already at work ahead of us. Well, let's look again at this invitation from the perspective of the text that we just read. And what does it mean for us in our individual faith journey and the role that we play, both individually and as a community of faith, in the spiritual journey of those around us? So what is going on then in this text? Well, we see people here searching, longing. But what are they searching for? For Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is the Messiah? What does it mean to follow him? What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? And where will this path lead? Well, the great prophet John the Baptist, who leapt in his mother's womb when in the presence of Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, admits that he did not know who Jesus truly was until it was fully revealed to him by God. In verse 33, I read again, "I myself," this is John speaking, "did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Yet even later, John the Baptist, when he was imprisoned by Herod, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ascertain if Jesus was the expected one, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. We read that in the 7th chapter of Luke. John's expectations of a a warrior Messiah, a political Messiah, were clearly not being met by Jesus. How could John be in prison, suffering, if Jesus was the Messiah? It led him to question, was he mistaken perhaps? This is a natural human struggle. There's often a difference between what we think we know about Jesus and who Jesus really is. Go back to the text on verse 35. This is the crux for today. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Well, there are several noteworthy points in these three verses. First, we know from the earlier verses I read that John the Baptist is not just offering an opinion here, he is offering an eyewitness testimony. Second, Jesus being identified as the Lamb of God, that would have had an immediate connection to any first century Jew. The connection here, of course, is to Passover and the saving blood of the Passover lamb. This would have been hugely significant. Then third, one of the disciples, one of the two disciples of John the Baptist, was Andrew, who became, of course, an important disciple of Jesus. There's a lot of speculation who the other disciple, the unnamed disciple, is. Probably the most popular candidate there is John, the gospel writer, the Apostle John himself. So really, some, if not all, of Jesus's inner circle of disciples began by first being disciples of John the Baptist. I find that quite remarkable. They followed John the Baptist as their teacher. And then we see here in the text, John the Baptist points these two of his disciples, people that he no doubt had poured himself into over months, if not years, he points them to Jesus. And they follow him, literally walk behind him. We then read the first words that Jesus speaks in John's gospel. He does not ask them, "Who are you? What do you want?" No, he asks them, "What are you looking for?" Maybe a better way to say that in our language today would be, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" The original Greek here implies a deep soul level craving. It is a profound, open-ended question prompting an examination of their deepest desires, their deepest hungers for God and purpose. Jesus here is really challenging their motives. Are you looking for a revolutionary, a political leader, a miracle worker perhaps, or are you looking for the Lamb of God? Well, their response seems quite strange to us, almost illogical. "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, that's in the text, "where are you staying? Where are you staying?" Well, by calling Jesus Rabbi, they signal that they want to transfer their allegiance from being John's disciple to Jesus. They essentially are asking to be his disciples, his students. So here's the crux of the problem. With John the Baptist, the two disciples were exposed to John's teaching, John's proclamation, his preaching, even John's eyewitness testimony about Christ. But their souls needed more. Well, where is the grace in this text? Well, first, of course, we see the grace here of John the Baptist, the prophet of God. He was the one who beheld Jesus as the Lamb of God. To the two disciples in the text, he encouraged his disciples, those who he's poured himself into, to leave him and follow the one, follow the anointed one, the Messiah. But there's more grace, of course, here in how Jesus responds. "Come and see." This is not an address or a location, but it's an invitation to come and see for themselves. In John's gospel, faith is rarely about an intellectual assent to a list of things that you're supposed to believe. It often involves a deep experience and a relationship with Jesus. We're continuing in verse 39 here. We see the impact of this grace. "They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, John gives, Apostle John, the gospel writer, John gives the time as about 4 p.m., the 10th hour. Why would you include that information? Well, if the unnamed disciple was actually Apostle John, the gospel writer, then he is essentially giving an eyewitness account. Think about that for a moment. About 50 years or so later, when the Gospel of John was finally written, John still remembers exactly what time it was when he first had an encounter with Christ. It was clearly a life-transforming moment. Of course, the idea of staying or abiding is a major theological theme in John's Gospel. So by inviting them to come and see, Jesus is moving them beyond the testimony of John the Baptist to their own personal encounter. This is the grace that we see in this text. Well, where do we see the same kind of trouble in the world? Well, Debbie, I do think that the Grinch is trying to steal Christmas. The Grinch really is trying to steal Christmas. There's nothing fundamentally different about the human condition today as there was during Jesus' day or the days since being thrown out of the garden. Humans, all of us, have a God-sized hole in our hearts that no amount of dust or anything else that we can find on this earth will fill. We need more than simply learning about God. We need more than preaching and teaching. We need to have an encounter, a come and see. We need to abide with the Lamb. So why then has the mainline Protestant church been in decline for 60 years? Why are so many of the churches in our denomination and other denominations on the verge of closing? Well, many argue that when the church adopted the values of secular liberalism, it became a mere secular agency with a steeple. Social activism and political causes became more important than ultimate meaning and spiritual discipline. Pulpits became platforms for a secular liberal discourse at the expense of preaching the Lamb of God. Sin became reinterpreted as systemic injustice, and salvation became reinterpreted as social progress. The gospel today has been reduced to secular ethics, and the transformative power of Christ has become lost. Our church is now part of the culture, not the counterculture. It is perhaps no surprise that those who authentically are seeking, those who are asking the question, where are you staying, are not hearing come and see from the traditional mainline church. And for those churches remaining faithful to the gospel, as we see in the text today, no amount of preaching, no amount of teaching, no amount of studying about Christ will make up for the come and see, the personal encounter with the Lamb of God. So where do we see the same grace that we see in this text? Where do we see it in the world around us today? Well, Jesus still stands in the middle of our frantic world, a world full of distractions and distortions, and asks us the same question that he asked the two disciples of John the Baptist. What are you seeking? He is gently pointing out that you cannot fill your life with living water from a broken system. Come and see is still the invitation for a personal encounter for those seeking more than activism or a church program or a social institution. We see the same grace in the world when members of Christ's body today point the way to Christ, when the church itself behaves as the beholders of the Lamb of God, not merely championing a secular social cause. In the same way that Jesus renamed Simon to Peter, such grace is seen in the world today in the new identities that are available to us in Christ when we live into the being named and claimed by God. We leave the old self and the old identities behind, and we begin a new life in Christ, a new resurrected life. In the same way that Andrew invites his brother, the same grace is seen in the world today when members of Christ's body invite others to come and see. Just as the two disciples of John the Baptist stayed with Christ, the same grace is seen in the world today when members of Christ's body offer a place for others to belong, not just to visit. Well, grace then is found when the church stops trying to be relevant to the secular world and starts being faithful to its host, to its head, Jesus, the Lamb of God. So we spent 60 years trying to make the gospel make sense to a secular world, often by stripping away the very mystery that makes it life-giving. We have treated Jesus like a political platform or moral philosophy. But when the two disciples followed Jesus down that dusty road, they did not ask for a manifesto. They asked, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus' answer, "Come and see. Come and see for yourself." It's not a suggestion to study him from a distance. It is a radical call to move in with him, to abide in him. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.